You're listening to the Ruhi Sleep, Sleep in Society podcast, recorded in Kingston, Ontario. And welcome back to another episode of the Ruhi Sleep, Sleep in Society podcast. Mike, back here with you again.
This is Andrew, and I'm glad that we've finally settled on a name and we're there.
You know, it's a journey. It's a constant journey. I don't even know if we're there yet. We definitely have a name.
I think this is 3 weeks in a row we've said the same thing, though.
That's true. We haven't changed it in 3 weeks, and that's good for us, and we should celebrate. And Ruhi is back. Hello, Ruhi.
Hello, Mike and Andrew.
We've got a really, really great discussion today because Andrew and I had the pleasure of attending one of your workshop presentations on adolescent sleep, and we're gonna talk about that today, and we're gonna kind of theme the next couple of weeks around adolescent sleep, leading up to something very special that we're gonna announce at the end of this episode.
I know, very, very exciting.
But we're gonna tease because that's good.
Yeah.
It's gonna tease people. It's also freezing in this studio, and I keep looking at us, and we're all in coats, and I'm like, what is going on?
The air conditioning is on.
The air conditioning is on and stuck on, and we don't know how to turn it off, so
yeah.
Here we are.
And we're in Kingston, and it snowed yesterday, just so people who are not from Canada.
So that's why every once in a while we're shaking. It's because it's freezing.
I feel like I should have brought some cocoa.
Warm up. Hopefully the people are nice and warm listening to us, and we can give them a nice soothing, relaxing talk as we go back to the topics of sleep. This week, again, we're focusing on adolescent sleep.
I don't know about the soothing part.
Well,
this particular one.
Well, maybe
this particular
topic.
Maybe
not. This topic might not be as soothing. But I've been told by many people our previous episodes were downright soothing. So.
That's what we're aiming for.
Yeah. I thought we'll kick things off with just Andrew and I giving kind of our thoughts on your presentation and get into some of the topics there. I mean, right off the bat, you know, my experience with it is there's a lot of things that I take for granted when it comes to sleep, especially when I was young. Like, again, we're talking about adolescence, so it is a specific age range, and obviously we'll let you handle how things change, but things do change as you get older. And I guess there's certain things that I took for granted and didn't really think about that maybe I wish I had when I was
younger. Well, we didn't have access to this kind of information before.
Right.
I mean, we still have. We don't. That's why.
Well, that's why we're doing this. I feel like people still don't really know this coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I have a couple of teenage nieces that I feel I have a completely different view on their sleep patterns. And, you know, when they sleep in, their parents kind of get like, oh, why didn't you up earlier? But now I kind of feel like, oh, now I understand a little bit more as why their bodies naturally do that.
Yeah, and that level of understanding was kind of what I came out of it. Maybe it's because I'm a little older, so I might have looked at it differently being a young person. Mm-hmm. But Ruhi, when you were in the presentation listing out the different types of things that influence and affect a young person's sleep, in my brain I always knew that, like, yes, young people are busy, especially this day and age, yes, they do things, but when you were listing it out, it sort of hit me in a way that I wasn't expecting, where I thought, wow, that is a lot. Like, the different factors where you've got your social factors, you've got school, you've got extracurricular activities, you've got homework, the way you were putting it out, and then the me time is now all of in front of screens. I'm just starting to count hours. I'm going, how do they have time to sleep at all?
I think it was a good model, like, to when we started discussing that, to talk about their, you know, real life clock.
Yes.
Mm. You know, rather than what we are expecting them to be, which is very different from their biological clock.
Yes.
So there's a big difference between their biological rhythms and the social rhythms. And I thought that was a very good introduction to that particular presentation for the parents.
And how the social rhythms have changed over time in ways you might not even realize. Like, again, and we've talked about this, like, Andrew and I grew up as social media was just happening. But I remember a time coming home from school where I wasn't always at a computer or wasn't always on the television or on my phone. Like, I remember what that was like. But in this day and age, for young people, it's drastically changed.
Yeah.
I saw a very interesting meme, actually, the other day that shows the difference between then and now, where then it was they were pulling them from outside inside to come in and have dinner.
Yeah.
And then now it's pushing them outside, and he's got a phone in his hand, like, typing.
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah. Well, we're living in a different kind of ecology, which, mm-hmm. you know, is I'm referring to as digital ecology this mm-hmm. age. And so, but everything, it's not just, that's just a newer aspect mm-hmm. That just came into for the past 10 years in terms of social media. But I think other factors have been building up now for quite a while, like in terms of academic pressures, in terms of expectations that are yes. being placed on the young people. And, you know, this is a very interesting age for them because their brain is still developing. It's taking, this is the time actually when what's called neural pruning begins to happen, where the brain decides who it is that they are going to become. It's an mm-hmm. Incredibly important part in terms of their brain development. Yeah. And when you add all of these pressures, it affects how you're going to develop as a human being. So I think like it would be really good for us to start talking about the biology.
Yeah.
Off their clock.
Well, and getting into that a little bit is one of the graphs that you showed us in one of the slides in your presentation focused on breaking down some ages where, as a younger person, when you're a child or a toddler, you still have a very good sleep pattern, and it's certainly not, it's close to perfect. It's a really strong pattern, and then you start to notice at certain ages when that interruption happens around adolescence. And I guess even though a part of me knew young people have a lot of pressures, when you spelled it out, it was like, well, no wonder it changes. No mm-hmm. wonder.
Well,
know,
no, with the pre-adolescence, the clock is, it's fantastic. Because mm-hmm. when I am presenting, giving workshops in terms of grade 5-6s, and I'm talking, because usually when we start talking about sleep, because these are very interactive workshops, and we're basing it upon taking their reality into
right.
account. So when we're talking to grade 5-6s, what's happening is you ask them how much sleep they're getting, what time they're going to bed. They're all going to bed at the right time that they're supposed to be going to bed mm. and getting appropriate amount of sleep for
yeah.
their age.
Yeah.
Also because they are, that's an interesting age where you also have parental control.
Yeah.
Right? So parents are setting bedtimes. Those
yes.
things are being set.
Yeah.
So they go to bed at a right time. They're reading before bed. They're not, and social, like, use of social media is also somewhat controlled. Parents
right.
still have that.
Yeah.
But that sort of thing changes with adolescence.
Mm-hmm.
Because adolescents, talking about that, first of all, their biological clock changes.
Yes.
Which is that, by what I mean by that is that their sleep, the circadian clock, which controls our sleep-wake rhythms, is actually delayed. So melatonin is actually delayed, it delays its release in adolescence 2 hours or even more. And the pressure to sleep that starts to build up the moment we wake up is also slows down in adolescence. It takes a longer time mm-hmm. for them to build up. So what it ends up doing is it ends up actually delaying their circadian clock. It ends up delaying their bedtime. They want to go to bed later
mm-hmm.
because it's in their biology.
Right.
And then it's harder to get them up in the morning as well. And then you have the social rhythm of it,
yeah.
right? Where the school start times for high school students are earlier.
Yes. Yeah.
Rather than, whereas you middle and elementary and middle schools, it's later.
Mm-hmm.
And so now their biological clock is delayed. Their drive to sleep is slowed down.
Yeah.
And then, you know, early school times mm-hmm. also contributes to shortening their sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are all the other factors that are in terms of the psychosocial factors, in terms of, you know, how much homework they
yeah.
have, extracurricular activities, sports, like organized sports,
mm-hmm.
which are actually later in high school students than
yeah.
it is in elementary and middle school.
Yeah.
Like some of them end between 9:30 and 10,
wow.
right? The basketball, soccer, all
yeah.
of that. And if you're a swimmer or a hockey player, that's early morning.
Yeah.
And then driving, to school, transit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah,
I remember like you mentioning something like that, that you were in Gananoque, you had to drive into
living
Kingston?
Yeah, living in Gananoque, there was a bus, but it was the 7:10 bus, I believe, to get to school on time. So that means, you know, you're getting up. I think, you know, again, a young teenage male, I required a few minutes to get out the door. Mm-hmm. But, to be fair, still probably getting up around 6:30, you know, to catch the 7:10 bus to go to school for starting at 8:30. Like, you'd still get there like 8:25. But I had a similar experience. If I wasn't going home on the bus and I had band practice after school and then maybe I had theater rehearsal after that, I might be getting home between 7 and 8 o'clock, then doing my homework. And then I have to be up at 6:30 the next morning. So yeah, I definitely could relate to that experience.
How much sleep did you get on average?
I would say that I was, for a while there, in grades 9 and 10 and 11, the first couple of years of high school, I was pretty good. I think I was able to get myself in bed by about 10:30. Probably close to 8 hours I would get. But in my grade 12, and I did an extra year of high school, it was worse. I don't think I was ever able to get to bed before midnight. It was a struggle to get to bed, and I was definitely operating on closer to 6 hours.
Yeah,
of
so
sleep.
That's definitely not sufficient.
No.
So National Health Survey, as well as the 24-hour movement guidelines, these are Canadian, recommend anywhere from 8.5 to 9.5 hours.
Yeah.
That's what the teenagers need.
Yeah.
But then there was a current meta-analysis that was being discussed at the World Sleep Congress later this fall, where I was attending.
Mm-hmm.
That data was showing that you need anywhere from 9.2 hours of sleep for them to be functioning in terms of optimal cognitive and, cognitively and physically, for their physical and cognitive well-being. This is not what's happening.
No,
so
not
this
at
is
all.
Not what's happening when I go into classrooms. This is not happening from the global data that's coming out.
Yeah.
What they are getting is anywhere from 7 to 7.5 hours.
But I kind of get it. Why? Because just the way at least you were presenting it, there's so many different things you have to consider when you reach that age that are being thrown at you at once. Not even to mention prep for university and colleges.
Which is starting earlier and earlier these days.
Yeah, 100%. And and they require, like, it's not even just that you need academic marks anymore, right?
It's more
like you need a full-on portfolios that you need to show how many things you've participated in.
That was the same when we went to school. I think you had to have some.
I didn't. Yeah. I didn't. Really. Like, I mean, I had good academic marks. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. I mean, there were a few things, but I don't remember this level of pressure, to tell you the truth. And I do not.
And it's been a long time.
And I had two. Someone. Yeah, there were two. I have had two different experiences now.
Right.
I had high school in India and then high school in Canada because I arrived here fairly young and I just finished high school in India.
Well, now you're experiencing it again having kids,
having a teenager.
You're experiencing it in another level. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I found actually that the Indian school system was much more brutal.
Really?
I remember. Oh, yeah, because I recall it's highly competitive. And I remember having to get up 4 a.m. to study at times, especially during exam time.
Wow.
Yeah, and then you would come home, you would have like maybe an hour, hour and a half of break, and then you would be going to your tutors for extra studying because you wanted to bump up your mark. But now, knowing what I know in terms of adolescent sleep and the need for sleep, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I wonder how it seriously impacted one's brain and my thinking and development. But I left fairly early, I have to say, and arrived in Canada, which was a somewhat gentler system during that time. But I'm finding it's getting incredibly competitive academically.
I was pretty lucky. I decided pretty early on I was going to college, which I ended up not even doing. So I didn't really have to worry about marks as much because community college is a lot easier acceptance. And I didn't do a lot of extracurriculars either. So I didn't have as much time restraints, and I still myself felt I was tired during the day as a teenager.
Yeah.
And I didn't have like Mike's crazy schedule, sometimes staying late after school, having to go in earlier because of distance, and I still felt tired during the day. So
because even as you take, this is interesting, that you take one or two things away, like, okay, I don't have university prep. There's still something else.
Yeah.
You take away, okay, well, I don't have band practice. There's still something else. Like, there's still chores at home. There's homework.
Yeah.
There's jobs. Like, we didn't even get into jobs, which I know is something, Ruby, you mentioned in your presentation. Like, they're starting to, everyone in their adolescence are starting to have jobs.
Yeah, so grade, especially grade 11, 11 and 12. And even, like, with Andrew, like, you saying that you still feel tired, it's probably because your circadian clock was also misaligned. Now, remember, adolescence is, and this is really important, is the time for brain development. Like, your brain is literally doing this incredible thing in adolescence where we discussed, like, synaptic pruning. It's forming pathways. That's why when we're saying, you know, take as much as you want, like, in terms of creativity, music, art, all of that, because that it's a prime time to be able to develop the foundations of kind of person you want to become. But sleep is incredibly important in that process because sleep is where your learning, your memory, your mood is being regulated. And you can have all of these activities and then you're taking that away. Then you notice that there's this correlation between how anxious they are.
Yes.
The anxiety.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and the anxiety is increasing significantly and it's increasing, you know, the in Global Burden of Disease study is showing that. Yeah. Global studies that are coming out in terms of teen sleep is showing that. And there is a reason for that because their sleep is markedly reduced.
Yeah, yeah.
Significantly reduced where they need 9 hours. Now they're getting, what, seven and a half hours?
Yeah, yeah.
They're in a chronic state of sleep deprivation.
And it's interesting because I also think we have to see a bit of an adjustment in how these things are dealt with or looked at because you can't just start taking away some of these factors because I know I've had several conversations with people being like, well, you can't just take away a young person's phone because that brings in anxiety. That brings in, well, I mean, a topic that we'll get into in a future podcast next week, the FOMO, which is something you brought up in your presentation.
Fear of missing out.
Fear of missing out, which is a real thing that happens and has to be respected. As you know, we have to understand that this is the way young people communicate now, and their me time is online, is on social networks, and it's about managing that as opposed to taking it away. Because even if you hear from Andrew and I, we both had different experiences. But you take away three or four experiences I had, and Andrew still had the same sleep experience that I did. Yeah. So clearly it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You just have to, you know, manage these things, if that makes sense.
Well, have a deeper understanding of it. And I think it's not just like a conversation in terms of teens. This is a conversation in terms of parents as well. Because if you're looking at their schedule, their teenager's schedule, and they are, you know, at school till about 2:30 or so, which is a fantastic system, better than what United States has, right? United States, most of their school start time is around 7:30.
Yeah.
And California just passed a bill last month making it mandatory to delay the school start times to 8:30 a.m., which is still, according to the studies that are actually showing, that is still early.
Yeah.
What is optimal time for them is actually later than that.
Okay, yeah.
Right? So that's still a little too early for the kids to be waking up. And I think then when they're going into school tired, and then they come home and they have homework, and then they have extracurriculars, and then they have sports, and then when does that leave them that window of time in terms of that, you know, we discussed me time actually at the presentation. That is towards the very end of their day, just before bedtime.
Yeah.
That is spent in front of a screen, which is actually not conducive to your sleep at all.
No.
Because it's actually affecting the not just the quality of your sleep, that's actually not just the quantity that you're getting, that's actually impacting the quality of your sleep as well. That's very important. And I think that was one of our first or second episodes. We talked about the quality versus quantity and the importance of that as well. But that's their time.
Mm-hmm.
And when I have these conversations with them, they are saying, well, this is the window of time that we have to get in touch with our friends, talk to our friends, and this is the way to do so. And these are very real things.
Yeah.
It's not just to say, put these things away, don't do this. Like, we have to really discuss their reality and take
Definitely.
Their reality into consideration. Like, we can't put the onus on them.
Yeah.
Right?
And like, I think that was a big point of your presentation that I took away, is like understanding their reality, and even a point that Andrew brought up earlier is like with your nieces, of like now you're starting to have a bit of an understanding, and it's not so much of why are you so tired, which I heard a lot in my adolescence. It's more, okay, let's try to understand your reality, which is different than my reality. Being 32 versus someone who's 17, our realities
and
are
your,
different.
And your sleep requirements
are different.
And your priorities are different. And, you know, your brain is not in this very delicate state that adolescent's brain is at.
Yeah.
Right? Those things really have to be taken into consideration when we are talking about practical aspects. When we're talking about real life interventions to this, we have to take our reality into consideration. I think it's so crucial to do that, or we are just going in this vicious cycle.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that's what we've seen in the past that clearly doesn't work, is you can't just put the onus on them, and you do have to understand the realities. And that's the big thing about your presentation that I thought was very powerful, was understanding these realities and talking about there's biological changes, there's social rhythms, there's all these different aspects that you don't necessarily think about. It's not just about, okay, in bed at 10 o'clock and up at 7 and everyone will be fine. It's not that easy. It's more complex than that. Listening to your presentation and drawing back on own experiences, you kind of get that understanding of it.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that I also really pulled from that presentation was talking about, now again, forgive me, you'll have to correct my language here, and we'll have to walk through it because I don't remember exactly the slide in it, but you were showing how right when the minute you wake up, your body's already working its clock down to sleep. And you had this really great image of this person getting heavier and heavier.
Oh, sleep homeostasis.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Could we go into that a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. So when I, earlier we had talked about the biological clock, and what's happening is you have sleep is a two process model.
Mm.
That's the current model that we are working on, is the two process, which is your circadian clock.
Mm-hmm.
And the circadian clock is something that controls your sleep wake cycles, your metabolic hormones, you know, when you wake up, when you need to eat, when you're the most alert. It's
right.
Wonderful. And then the second process is your sleep homeostasis. So the moment that you wake up, sleep pressure starts to build up. And it builds up until your body's like...
Oh. Which I've never thought of it that way before, ever,
well,
until
because
you saw that.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting. And because those are two things that it's dependent on.
Mm-hmm.
And as I discussed earlier, that process changes with teenagers.
Yeah.
Not only the circadian clock is delayed, the pressure, the sleep pressure, is itself slows down. So both of those things taken into account makes them into later chronotype, like the wanting to go to bed later, night owls. And then you would want your 9 hours because this is what's recommended.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're not getting your 9 hours, then you are collecting what's called sleep debt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to build up and build up. And if you're not careful about it. Like, either they end up having recovery time on the weekends,
yeah.
right? Like,
yeah.
they're then on weekends, what's happening with them is also, that's also when they actually have, they go to parties, whether it's now
yeah.
online or whether they're, you know, face to face.
Yeah.
And then further delaying their circadian clock.
Yeah.
And then they wake up later. But now, if you're grade 11, 12, and you have a job on the weekend,
yeah.
that's not what's happening.
Yeah, weekend job. Yeah, that yeah. wouldn't happen. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so that's not happening. And then they are missing on already missed sleep.
Wow.
And, you know, yeah. we've discussed this in terms of our shift work
yeah.
Talks as to what happens mm-hmm. when our systems are desynchronized. We mm-hmm. have lots of evidence on that. And
yeah.
that's what's happening with our young
wow.
people. And you know, that to me is very frightening as
oh,
a parent
yes, for sure.
and as
yeah.
As a member of our society.
Yeah. So we're just about at the end for this week. And I do want to quickly mention that next week we're going to kind of continue this conversation, but specifically talk about FOMO a little bit more, fear of missing
yeah,
out.
Yeah, let's go a little bit into...
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting...
Media. Yeah,
it's yeah really interesting media. Discussion point, especially when it comes to connecting that to sleep. But we do have a bit of an announcement. A very cool thing's happening in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So in 2 weeks, we have a very special episode, a 90-minute version of this podcast. If you loved us at 30 minutes, you're going to love us at 90.
Well, especially this one. Because
this
is a... This
so do you want to announce it?
Oh, yeah.
yeah.
This is our panel discussion with teenagers. This we have a group of awesome...
Yeah.
intelligent humans coming.
Five fantastic guests.
Four.
Oh, four.
Yeah.
Four. Yes, there was four. Yeah,
yeah
you,
four
you were
fantastic.
I was thinking of who was in the room before. Four fantastic guests. And Ruhi, you do a great job of moderating this discussion. But as we were recording it, we all came to the realization of, this is great. Let's just keep it going.
Yeah, we didn't
so
want to divide this up.
It's a 90-minute discussion.
Yeah.
But you're not going to want to miss this in 2 weeks because it's a really strong discussion. And like we've talked about before, we're hearing from the actual young people that we're having these discussions about. Like we're bringing it. It's the same with talking to Katie Weeks. Let's talk to someone who's living
yeah,
these experiences yeah. and
discuss because
it.
We need to bring these conversations and see where we are at so we
yeah.
can – shape these conversations.
Absolutely.
Right?
So that's coming up in 2 weeks. So don't miss that episode of the Sleep in Society podcast. It's going to be fantastic. But we're out of time for this week. Thank you both for being here once again. And thank you to all our listeners for tuning in.
Thank you. Absolutely.